Today by request, Wisp Resort Golf Course in Deep Creek, Maryland.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Hi, my name is Joe Llewellyn, and I am going on a golf trip in June with about 15 other guys, and we are playing at a course in Maryland called The Wisp. It's in Deep Creek, Maryland, and none of us have played the course, and we have heard rumors that it is very tight and tree-lined, and I was hoping that you could do a course review and do what you do and talk to the head pro there and give us some insight before we go down there so that we can all have a better golf trip and make it more enjoyable. I love the podcast. Keep up the good work, and I'll keep listening. Thanks a lot, Fred.
Thank you, Joe, for listening and for making the request. Our podcast today will venture to the mountains of Western Maryland and the Wisp Resort Golf Course in Deep Creek. Our guest is going to be the head golf professional there, Brian Heslop. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Give me an overview of your golf course.
It's a very, very challenging mountain golf course. We have elevation changes on the front nine. The back nine is pretty much flat with slight elevation changes. It's very scenic. You have a lot of views of the mountain ranges around you. And it's a very demanding, very tight golf course.
You know, it's interesting. The listener, obviously, we just heard the introduction from our listener. He had this concern. Let me play it for you, and you can respond to that.
We read a review online that says it's really narrow with lots of trees lining the fairways. So that makes everybody extremely nervous.
The first four holes of the golf course are not that narrow, and you definitely want to try to get by those first four holes with the best score that you can. The start of the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth hole are narrow. They're tree-lined. They are very narrow, but you have to just try to keep the ball in play. Do not overhit your golf ball. Just try to take enough club that you feel comfortable to keep it in the fairway. The fifth and sixth hole, like I was saying, is they are tight, but when you get outside of the eighth hole and back into the ninth, it opens back up a little bit. And the back nine of our golf course is a little more open than the front nine. There's probably three holes, the 11th, the 12th, and the 15th, that are narrow again. And once again, you just want to take a club that makes you feel comfortable. We have done renovations and changes to our golf course. We've taken some trees out and taken some bunkers out to make it more player-friendly. There really isn't anything to be nervous about. Just try to keep the ball in play on those holes and go from there.
Excellent. Thank you very much for responding to that. Let me ask you this. On courses that have narrow fairways like that, I see people bringing out their woods and their drivers a lot. But I've always found for myself, if I don't have a lot of room to play, I'm going to be pulling out my irons and not worrying about how far I hit the ball. What kind of advice would you give in a situation like that?
That'd be absolutely correct. Like I said, the fifth and sixth hole, when you would approach those on our golf course, the fifth hole is fairly long. The sixth hole is not. Don't try to overhit, take a driver, and try to hit it down the fairway. Take whatever you feel most comfortable with to keep it in the fairway, because especially on hole five and six, you can make large numbers by going into the trees. So just hit whatever you need or feel most comfortable with hitting it in the fairway in play.
Good, good. I'm glad I figured that one out. Is it a walking course, or are you taking a golf cart?
If you're playing here on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, it is carts only. During the week, we do allow walking Monday through Thursday. The front nine is fairly difficult to walk on the first four or five holes. The first four holes, actually, are elevation changes. After that, it's okay, and most of our members just come out and walk the back nine.
Okay. Is there a lot of water on this course? Are there lakes all over the place, or is it?
Not all over the place. We have one, two, three, four holes with water.
Oh, okay.
They're just ponds.
Uh-huh.
There's no creeks or rivers on our course.
Okay, so most of your hazards then are probably sand.
Right. Most of our hazards are sand, yeah. And there's not a lot of out-of-bounds. There's about two holes that have out-of-bounds. It's just the tree line fairways that can get you into trouble.
And when you get inside these trees, it's still playable, right?
Yes. Yes, it's still playable. Once again, the fifth and sixth hole are lined with pine trees, so it's a little more tight on the right side of five and the right and left side of six. Those are the trees that you really want to avoid.
Okay. And once you're in the trees, are they low-hanging trees? Is it tough to get out of there? Is there going to be some air within these trees?
Yes, there is air there. And what I would suggest is when you do get in the woods, do not get too greedy with trying to cut off more distance. If you know you can't get to the green or there's just a little tiny hole there to advance the ball, chip it sideways and get it back into the fairway. These tight holes that we have here, that's the best play to just try to make, you know, to chip out, hit on the green, make your par, or make bogey at worst. So you definitely want to just don't risk too much. Just get out sideways and get back in the fairway.
Are you advising us to golf smarter, Brian?
Yes, golf smarter.
Thank you so much for the plug. We appreciate that.
No problem.
And do you have GPS systems on your carts or how?
No, we do not, but we have a yardage book that's mounted to the steering column of our golf carts.
Oh, okay.
Full pictures. It has the green depths. It has all the yardages off the tee that can show you where you need to hit the ball. So they're very nice, and I definitely recommend looking at those if you've never played here before.
Okay. And the yardage markers on the course, what do you do?
We have 100, 125, 150, 175, and 200 Kirby markers that are in the fairways. We have 150-yard stakes on each of the holes, and we do mark the cart paths on all of those distances as well.
Okay, great. Why don't we start talking about how to play some of these holes? And to those of you who are listening on your computer, check into the Google Earth function that we offer, because we are going to be putting in the Google Earth holes, all the six holes that we're going to talk about today, and you'll be able to see it while you're looking at the Wisp Resort with our guest, Brian Heslop. Brian, which is the first hole you want to talk about today?
We can talk about the par five, number three. It is from the blue tees, is 525 yards.
What's the handicap?
The whites, which is the members' tees, our white tees, is 510 yards.
Okay. And what's the handicap?
That is our fifth hardest hole.
Oh, boy. All right. So let's. Where do you want to play today, from the blues or the whites?
We can play from the whites. That's fine.
That's good. We're on vacation. We shouldn't be beating ourselves up here.
No, so, I would definitely recommend that the white tees is where you want to play from.
All right, great.
Blue tees are very challenging.
All right, since it's a par five, what's our target on our tee shot?
Well, when you walk up onto the tee box, you're going to look straight down the fairway, and you're going to see an oak tree right in the middle of the fairway that's about 65 feet in height and is very wide, takes up most of it. What you want to do is there's a few little pine trees down your left side, and your target is right in between those pine trees and the giant oak tree that's in front of you down the left side. It's a slight dog leg left, and you want to try to reach the corner of that dog leg.
So how far of a drive is it to that huge tree in the center of the fairway?
The huge tree sits out there probably at about 185 yards.
Oh, you can drive.
A lot of players can clear the tree.
Okay.
Some players that do not hit it as high as others want to go down that left side.
And how much room do you have on the left side?
You have probably 30 yards in between. The pine trees on your left side are not very tall.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about those in height. If you're a right-handed player and you hit the ball left to right, take it out by the little pine trees and cut it back into the fairway around the tree.
And if we are hitting from the whites, that means that maybe we're not the most accurate player. And we hit it, say we hit it towards that opening between the pine trees and the big one. Mm-hmm. What's on the left? What if we missed?
On the left is just our second hole that you've already played down, so it's fine. There's no trouble on that left side.
Okay, good.
It's actually just the rough of the next hole, and you would just play your next shot up over the little pine trees, because the pine trees actually line the whole left side, but they're just a single row of pine trees that are probably only 15 foot in height. So you would just hit your next shot over those trees to the 150-yard marker.
All right, so now let's just pretend I'm hitting from the whites, but I can drive the ball about 225, okay?
Right.
Do you advise me to go over that tree in the center of the fairway if I can do that? Is that going to be enough
loft? Yes. If you feel comfortable in clearing that tree, just take it right over the center of the tree.
Okay, and then you'll
perfect
put it...
Perfect shot.
And that'll put you right at the dog leg there?
That'll put you right at the dog leg. The right side, if you are a shorter hitter, you can take the right side of that tree. If you don't think you can make it to the end of that dog leg, and you'll be just fine on the right side, it'll give you more room.
Okay, so let's take our second shot. Say we've just made it past that big tree.
Mm-hmm.
What is our second shot target?
Your second shot target is just to you'll see from the second shot, it starts to go uphill all the way to the green. It really starts going uphill at the 150-yard stake. So you're wanting to hit your second shot. If you're not able to go for the green in two, you want to take your second shot right to the 150-yard stake, which is probably, you know, 150-yard shot to there.
Mm-hmm. And now are we taking – is it severe enough uphill that we're taking an extra club, or are we taking two extra clubs on that?
When you hit your third and your approach shot to the green – you will definitely want to take at least one club.
At least one?
Yes.
And what about winds? Are they going to hamper us in any way?
Yeah, that's why. If it's just regular wind, if there's no wind or slightly down breeze, you're just going to take one club. If the wind is in your face, which it tends to be on that hole, you may need two clubs. From the 150-yard stake, you cannot see the green. You can see the pin, but you cannot see the green.
Okay. And now we've made our approach shot, we've taken the extra club, we've gone up to the green. Tell me about the green here. And is it a typical green of your golf courses?
A typical green of our golf course. It's kind of kidney shaped to the right. It's 27 yards deep, which is probably typical for our golf course. 27 to 36 yards in depth is about the size of our greens.
Okay.
They're not overly big, but they're not too small.
Are they fast?
Yeah, they're fairly fast, depending on what time you play here. If it's in the middle of summer, yeah, they can be rolling fairly quickly. Most of the holes you want to stay in front of the pin. You don't want to go long.
Okay.
Because most of the holes will slope back down to the front. And if you get above the hole or over the back of the green, is a very difficult shot.
And what kind of hazards do you have around that green as we try to get onto it?
Onto that green, there's a bunker on your right, a bunker on your left, and a bunker long.
You're surrounded.
Pretty much, all but in the front. And that's there used to be a bunker there that's no longer there. We removed that bunker. And I would suggest playing your second shot that it will bounce right up onto the green if you're just short. It'll bounce up on the green, and that's the best play.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you. Let's move on to which hole would you like to go to next?
Let's go to our fifth hole, which is a par 4.
Okay.
And it is rated fourth hardest hole on the golf course.
Number 4 handicap. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
All right. And what is our target from the tee box?
Okay. The fifth hole is just straight. It's straight on. What you see is what you get. It is probably, in my opinion, one of our harder holes on the golf course. For sure.
Wow, just said it's just straight.
Yeah, it's just straight, but it plays. It's 415 yards from the white tees,
mm-hmm.
and the wind is typically in your face.
Okay. So tell me why it's hard.
It's very narrow.
Ah, as they were complaining and they were concerned about.
Yeah. It's very narrow, but there's room to work with. There's a bank on your left side. And that's your target off the tee, is the middle of that bank on your left, going down the left side of the fairway. The ball lands on that bank, it'll kick down into the fairway.
And if
pretty much on this hole kicks to the right.
Okay, but if you go a little bit too far left, what happens?
There's trees. They are more open trees. The right side is the pine thickets that I talked about before. That's where you do not want to go.
Okay.
You do not want to be right off the tee. You'll see the bank when you're on the tee box. You'll see the bank that I'm describing, and that's your target. You land in the middle or the bottom half of that bank, you'll kick right into the center of the fairway.
Is the grass fairly deep on that bank?
No, it's not. It's just our regular height of our rough.
Good. So that means it's not going to get stuck in there and the balls can be below your feet.
Not very often. If it's not, especially in the summertime when it's dry, it'll hardly ever get stuck on that bank.
So the ball carries pretty well once it hits the ground?
Yes.
Good. All right. Now, what about our approach shot? Now, based on what you're telling us, we should be hitting an iron off our tee box here, correct?
Yes. The only difficult part about that is it is 415 yards.
Okay.
If you don't hit an iron very far off the tee, it's going to make it very difficult to get to the green in two. But once again, if you feel comfortable with hitting a 4-iron or a 5-iron just to get it into the fairway, you may play it as a 3-shot hole.
Now, is this one of the holes that is going uphill?
No. This hole is flat.
Okay.
Until 125 yards out, and then it drops down to the green.
Oh, all right. So your approach shot. So you're advising maybe that playing for bogey here and hoping for a good putt is the better play?
Yes, bogey is a very good score on this hole.
All right. Joe, are you paying attention to this? We're doing this show for you, buddy. let your friends hit it far. You just play it smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so is the downhill approach enough where you want to take less club?
Yes, if the wind's not in your face, it's probably one less club. The green is not very it's probably one of our smaller greens on the golf course, and it has a bunker on the left and two bunkers on the right.
So it's all about accuracy on this hole.
Yes, it's all about accuracy. The approach shot is pretty difficult as well.
Wow.
The best advice I can give you is on the entire hole, both shots, you do not want to go right. Even at the green, if you go right of those right bunkers, there's a severe bank on the other side that'll kick your ball clear to the bottom down by the woods.
Whoa.
So on your approach shot, favor the left side. You would rather be in the left bunker than miss right of the two right bunkers.
Okay, and after you finish this hole, take a nice deep breath, put it all behind you, and don't carry that annoyance with you.
Right. One more piece of advice. It's
sure.
Another one where there's no bunker in the front, so if you do land short, it will bounce up on.
Oh.
So that's what you want. You want to play all the holes that are here. Basically, you never want to be going long. So most everything you can bounce up onto the green. There's only a few holes that have bunkers right in the front of the green. There's not very many.
And what about if you're just off the green? Say you're on the second cut, or is there a first cut that's long enough that you can putt from off the green?
Yeah, if you're directly in front of the green, mm-hmm. the fairway runs right to the green. So if you are just short, you can putt, and that's how you want to play a lot of these holes.
So you want to keep the ball on the ground for a long time when you're on around the green.
Right.
Bump
now,
and run.
The rest of around the greens is all surrounded by rough.
Okay.
Now, but mostly, a lot of the holes here, there's fairway that runs right to the green in front. So if you're just short, it makes your chipping a lot easier, or you're able to putt.
Great. Great advice. Thank you. All right, we got one more hole in the front nine before we take a short break. Which one would you like to do next?
I would like to do our seventh hole.
Why?
Par three.
Okay, a par three. Good.
It's a downhill par three.
All right. So what's the distance on it, but what should you be hitting for?
Well, the distance on it from the white tees is 170 yards.
Simple enough?
Yes, and it can play one club short.
All right. So
downhill enough to play one less club if you don't have wind in your face.
And that's if the flag's in the center?
Yes, all of our distances on the golf course are right to the center of the green.
So, but the way you've been describing these holes, it sounds like even if the flag is in the center or in the back, you should be playing to the front of the green.
Right. If you play to the front of the green, you always have an uphill putt.
And that's the position you're going to want. So don't play to the flag. Play to the front of the green.
Yes, if anything, play short.
Hmm. All right, so what is the target for this hole, and what about the winds and the downhill? How is that going to impact you?
The wind usually it is back into your face a little bit, but the downhill pretty much evens it out. It plays a lot to the close to the distance that you'll see on the tee boxes.
Mm-hmm.
If the wind's in your face a little bit, it'll justify the downhill. It has a bunker in the front left of the green, which that's not a bad spot to be in, that front left bunker, because you've kept it short of the flag. If the pin is in the front part of the front of the green is very narrow on this hole. And this is a hole where if you do take enough club, if the pin's in the front and you go just past it, it's not bad. The difficulty here is leaving this one short right or right at all. There's a severe bank on your right side that will kick you down into some pine trees.
That's
to favor the left side.
Will do, Coach.
Yeah, the right side is no good.
Thank you. All right. Now, we're coming up to the turn here. Is it a place to grab a hot dog before we get to the back nine?
Yes, sir. We have our concession stands right there at the turn, so you get to hit it at one and at the turn of nine. And we do the basics, the hot dogs, already made sandwiches, chips, crackers.
And is the turn bringing us back to the clubhouse, or is it?
Yes, the turn does bring you back towards the clubhouse.
Uh-huh.
But you have a fairly lengthy drive in a cart from the clubhouse out to the golf course.
Oh.
But the turn does come right back by where you first enter the golf course.
Oh, all right. Well, let's take a short break. We'll come right back and get to the back nine.
Okay.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @TEETOUR.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
We're back here with Brian Heslop, the head golf professional for the Wisp Resort Golf Course in Deep Creek, Maryland. And Brian, I have a feeling I know the answer on this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When I'm preparing myself to come to your golf course to play, and I'm going to be practicing at home, what's the shot that I should be practicing the most to play your golf course?
The shot that I would be practicing the most is your chipping around the greens. That's where you can save a lot of shots on this golf course. I would practice your tee shots and chipping. Chipping here can save a lot of shots, and keeping it in play off the tee is very important.
That's what I thought you'd say, just by what you described already. All right, so let's go ahead to the back nine, and which hole would you like to start with?
Let's do the 11th hole, which is a par 5.
What is our target on the tee box of hole 11?
Your target is just, you'll see it straight down the fairway. It's going to dogleg left. This is actually a par 5 that has two doglegs in it.
Nasty.
Getting there in two is almost impossible. So you're playing, it's definitely a three-shot par 5. Your tee shot needs to be roughly 230, and you want to favor the right side, especially if you're a shorter hitter. Favor the right side so you can get around that dogleg on your second shot.
So if you're hitting it about 230, and you're staying on the right side, is hitting it on the right side hitting it a little bit farther than if you were to hit it on the left?
No, if you're going to hit it farther, you can hit it down the left side, and you'll be fine. Just to clear that dogleg. If you don't feel comfortable that you're going to hit a 230-yard drive, favor that right side, because then the hole opens up around that dogleg, and you might be able to advance it up on your second shot.
And if you're hitting the ball about 180 to 200, are you going to be able to see down the fairway? Are you going to be able to have any view to get that second shot past the dog leg?
If you hit it 185 yards, no. You're going to be hitting your next shot out to the dog leg.
Mm, okay.
So even favoring that right side isn't going to help you with a 185-yard shot.
All right, so check your ego at the door here, friends.
Yeah, this one's a pretty demanding tee shot. It's not as narrow as the other ones, but you need to get it out there far enough to get around that dog leg.
Okay, good. All right, so now we've made it to the dog leg. What happens next?
Next, on your second shot, is probably the hardest part of this hole, is that it's a little bit longer second shot than you would be used to on a par five. Your next shot is probably going to be 200 to 210 yard shot.
Wow.
To get you to the 150 yard marker.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. That is tough. So the total length of this hole from the whites is?
The total length from the whites is 567.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, 582 from the blues.
Okay, so now your approach shot, because you're just trying to get to your 150 yards. What kind of distractions do you have getting to the green?
On your third shot to get to the green is just, there's a pond in front of the green that you have to carry.
How far is that pond? How long is it?
Well, it's probably 120 yards in length. Like I said, if you hit to the 150 yard marker, then that's probably what you have, is about 30 yards from the 150-yard marker to the pond. And then it's probably 120 yards. You have about 15 yards maybe to play with just in front of the green. There's about 15 yards of rough right there.
Oh, so is this a situation where you're going for the center of the green? Is that your target?
Yes.
So is it going to run back, though?
You know, no,
we've talked about getting to the front.
Yeah, this one's not sloped as much as some of the other ones.
Okay.
This green's fairly flat. It is sloped a little bit, but being past the pin on this hole isn't as big a deal.
Is it a larger than normal green?
Yeah, it's probably one of our bigger greens on the golf course.
Well, that was generous of you.
Yeah, it's but it is also has a bunker on the left, a bunker on the right, and a bunker deep.
I take that back. Oh, man.
Our bunkers aren't bad, though. I mean, they're not real deep bunkers. They're pretty easy to play out of.
Okay. But this is another one of these challenging holes that you should be happy if you bogey the hole.
Yes. It's actually the handicap on this hole. It's number two. It's the second hardest hole on the course.
Hey, man, I'm on vacation. This is supposed to be fun. You're making me work.
It's a very, very scenic and really nice golf course that will challenge you, yes. But it's nothing to be intimidated about. Just there's certain holes, and some of the ones that I'm describing are the ones that I'm talking about, of just keeping the ball in play. If you do get in the trees, don't take too much risk in trying to advance it. Just get it back out in the fairway.
Okay. All right. I'll take your advice. All right. Where are we going to next now that we finished hole number 11? What would you like to do?
We're going to go right to the next tee, number 12.
And is that a very far stroll between holes?
No, it's not. Cool. No, most of our tee boxes are pretty, from green to tee is not very far.
All righty. Now we're at number 12, and this is a par
4.
Par 4. And what would be our target from the white tee box?
Your target down the tee box is the right side of the fairway. This is a dog leg left, and at the dog leg, there's just a little row of pine trees that stick out. So you want to favor the right side, which allows you to be around those pine trees better to approach the green.
Can you pull out the driver on this, or is it fairly one of the narrow ones?
You can pull out the driver. Some of the longer hitters, you're going to be hitting a 3-wood off the tee.
Hmm. Okay. And in looking at the photo online here, it looks like there's trees and bunkers in the center of the fairway that you've got to thread the needle on.
Well, there's a bunker on the right side in the rough, just out of the fairway. You're just trying to avoid that bunker on your right and just going down the right side of the fairway.
And is there a bunker in the center of the fairway there?
No, there's not.
Oh.
There was a bunker on the left side of the fairway that we just took out.
Thank you. Okay, this picture's not updated online. Okay.
Yes. The only bunker off the tee is the one on the right side. And when you're looking at that bunker, the reason, most of the reason that it's there is there is a bank on your right side, on the right side of the cart path, that you do not want to go over.
So you have been making changes to this course?
Yes, to make it more player-friendly.
Oh, that's nice. And what about upcoming changes? Do you have some more that are happening?
Yes, we do have some more. We're actually going to build 7 new holes, and to move 7 of our holes from various spots on the golf course to open it up a little more for our real estate, because half of our front 9 of this golf course sits right next to our ski slopes.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of real estate opportunity there for us.
I see. And when do these changes going to occur?
The first phase is 4 holes that will start July 1st.
Of this year? Of 2006?
Yes, of this summer.
Uh-huh.
And they will be built this summer. They will grow in next summer, and they'll be ready to play in 08.
Wow.
And then there'll be another phase of 3 more holes later down the road.
Oh, that's exciting for you.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. You know what? We haven't done our approach shot on hole number 12 yet. I get distracted.
Right. The approach shot is uphill here. It's not extremely uphill, but I would say normally it does play 1 more club different.
Okay.
I would take 1 more club.
And the wind is also in your face, or is it behind you here?
No, the wind doesn't normally hit you very much here.
Okay.
Because up by the green, there's a row, a patch of pine trees on your right side that kind of guards the wind on this hole.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I would definitely recommend taking 1 more club.
And are we going for the center of the green or the front of the green as our target?
Ball will bounce on. The fairway runs right to the front of the green. It will bounce on. It's another hole that it's not terrible if you're long, but you'd rather keep it pin high or just in front of pin high.
Okay.
There might be on the website, I don't know, we just took out another bunker on that hole that sat in the front left.
That's still on the website, yeah.
Yeah, it is now gone.
Okay, good, because that to me was an issue. I was looking at that going, that's going to be in the way.
There's no bunkers surrounding this green.
Great. Okay. There's no bunkers surrounding this green.
Right.
Oh, on the website you have 2 bunkers.
Yeah, actually we took out one last, actually one more at the end of last season, so there's no more bunkers guarding the green.
Okay. Well, then I guess Photoshop is
the left side.
Okay.
On your approach shot, favor the left side. There's a fairway collection area where those bunkers used to be now.
Mhm.
Which it makes it, a pretty nice, easy little chip. So if you do miss the green, you want to miss it left.
Okay. I'm studying this picture here. I'm trying to figure out where to hit the ball. Oh, I'm not playing there. Okay, so we have 1 more hole to do. And before we started recording here today, you were kind of concerned. You weren't sure. You want to do 14 or you want to do 18? What would you like to do here?
Well, number 14 is a hole that, if you've never played it before, can be kind of difficult.
Then I think we need instruction.
Yes. I would love to give instructions on this hole. The 18th that we did change, we changed to a par 3,
okay.
And it's a downhill par 3. It's a very, very good hole, but it's it visually, you'll see what's right in front of you is what you got. There's nothing tricky about that hole.
Okay, but let's talk about 14 because actually I'm looking at this photograph and I think we need help.
Yes.
What's our target here?
This is a double pond hole. Your tee shot's over a pond and then your approach shot's over a pond. It's not a long hole, and the fairway is probably the widest fairway on the golf course. It's not about accuracy. It's just about hitting that.
It's about distance.
Shot solid.
Yeah.
Getting it up in the air to make sure you get over that first pond.
Okay, so from the white tee boxes, how far do we have to drive the ball to get over the first pond?
It's 235 yards, roughly. You'll see we have a sign right there on our tee marker that tells you 232 yards, from that sign to the second pond. So there is... For longer hitters, you can hit it in the second pond, and that's why I'm trying to describe. You cannot see the second pond from the tee.
Oh.
Because when you hit your second, you're going to see a big wide open fairway over the first pond that goes uphill. It's big, it's wide, but it is uphill. And then when it goes to the top of the hill, as far as you can see to the top of the hill, is where that second pond starts.
Okay. And how far do we have to hit the ball to clear the first pond?
Well, you want it's a 200 to a 215-yard shot is a good shot off the tee.
And if you're still not going to feel comfortable hitting the ball 200 yards, do you have some room on the left or right of the pond that you could be aiming for?
No, you do not.
So what do you
probably
do?
I'd say 175 yards across the pond.
Oh, my.
170, 175 yards across the pond. You want to hit a 200-yard shot. Like I said, the fairway is wide open. It's a big, wide fairway.
So do I have permission to hit from the red tees on this hole?
Yeah.
You're making me really nervous here, Brian.
No, it's not as difficult as it sounds. It's just a nice, solid tee shot. Don't let the water intimidate you. It is, 170 yards probably across there. A nice 200-yard shot is fine.
Okay.
So for most people, it is going to be your driver. I'd say average, our members that play here, they probably average hitting a 3-wood off the tee, just something that they feel even more comfortable with, just getting it airborne and just hitting it out there.
All right. And say we were skilled enough and accurate enough to make it onto that nice big fairway. What's our approach shot here?
Your approach shot is going to be 150 to 160 yards with that 200-yard shot, roughly.
Okay.
There's nothing tricky about the next shot. You'll see there's a bunker on your left and a bunker on your right up at the green. The pond that you're going to hit over on your approach shot, there's probably a good 40 yards of fairway after the pond to the green.
Good.
So your approach shot should be, judging by where the pin is, if the pin's in the front, I always recommend hitting it just off the green short, the ball will bounce right on.
And does the pond stretch itself over towards the green at all? And this
not
photograph
really.
Online.
Not really. You have room around this pond.
Okay.
Unlike the tee shot.
Okay.
There's room on the right. There's room on the left. The two bunkers that you see up by the green are actually both probably 15 yards off the green. They're not right against the green. So there's room left and right of the green in between the bunkers. And it's nothing but fairway in front of the green. Over the pond in front of the green is nothing but fairway.
Okay.
So just keep it in front of you, keep the ball in front of the pin, and you'll be fine. Just two solid shots.
Great. Great. Now, you had talked about members. Is this semi-private?
Yes, we have right now roughly 110 members here.
Okay.
Not a lot of members, but we do have members here.
And the name of your course being Wisp Resort Golf Course. Do you have a hotel associated?
Yes, we have a hotel. It's a 170-room hotel that sits right where you'll be checking in for golf, right in between the check-in for golf and the golf course. So there are the whole backside of the hotel overlooks the golf course.
Do you have twilight rates as well?
Yes, we do.
And what time do twilight
right
time
now,
start?
There, it's $42 at 3 o'clock is the twilight rate.
That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
We're $72 peak season mm-hmm. before 12.
And what time does the twilight rate begin?
3 o'clock.
Okay. And are the carts an extra fee?
No. The fees, all the charges that you see includes green fee, cart, everything.
Great. Tell me about your practice area.
Well, with the old 18th hole that was a par 4, when we turned it into a par 3, we made the rest of the par 4 that existed, we took that green that has three bunkers around it and about 130 yards of fairway for a short game practice area that just became usable this year, which is very nice.
Great.
To be able to go out, practice shots. If you're going to be here before your round or the day before, it's very nice to go out there and work on your game there. And we also have a driving range that sits right beside the golf course. Your bucket of range balls is also included with your round of golf.
Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. And what about your practice putting greens?
We have two. We have the 18th hole that I just described is the putting and chipping green, and there's an extra putting green right beside the first tee. It's all right there beside each other.
I'm a real stickler for this. Is your practice putting green representative of the greens on your golf course as far as speed?
Yes.
And undulation?
Yes. The 18th green that we turned into our short game practice area is a lot like them. It's probably even just a little more severely sloped than the other ones. But our other practice green is fairly flat. And we have the speed is the same, yes.
Okay, great. And what about if I'm hitting balls on your driving range, how far from the driving range or the practice putting area is the first hole? How much time do I need to spend to get there?
It's 20, 30 yards.
Oh, all right. So you don't have to worry about getting there way in advance. And if people wanted to make a tee time, is the best way to do it online or to give you guys a call?
You have to give us a call.
And what would that phone number be?
301-387-4911.
Okay.
And then you'll get a recording, and the golf course is number one, the extension one.
Okay.
Very first choice.
Great. And if they wanted to see more about the facility for summer, winter, real estate, everything, what would be the web address?
The web address is wisresort.com.
W-I-S-P as in Peter. Resort.com, wisresort.com.
And that gets you right on to the beginning of our webpage, and everything's on there. Wintertime, summertime, you can see it all. And if you've never been here before, we're growing very fast, especially in our ski area. That's what we've been known for is our ski area. It's a very nice place in the wintertime as well. We're actually, Deep Creek Lake, Maryland is a Four Seasons resort, and it's very nice. There's lots of things to do here every season.
And what is the golf season for you? What
The golf season usually starts, we open right around Easter weekend in April, and then we go to about probably the first week or so of November. The best weather that we have here is probably getting into later part of May, June, July, August, September, and the first part of October.
And your weather, does it get pretty hot?
No. It's nice here in the summertime.
And what about humidity?
It can get hot, but we don't have very much humidity here.
Oh, great.
The average temperature in the summertime is probably 80 to 85.
Oh, perfect.
In the hottest time of the year.
Oh, it sounds fabulous.
Oh, no, it's great. It's a great place to be in the summertime.
All right. Well, and if you're going up there, please stop by and say hi to Brian. Tell him thank you for the advice. And he'll take care of you. He'll make sure that you know exactly
absolutely.
Where you're
don't, there's nothing to be intimidated about. The holes that I described to you, those are the toughest holes out there. They're very nice holes. Just keep the ball in play.
Great advice.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
All right, Brian. Well, thank you again for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Now it's time for our second monthly contest. It's your chance to win a free membership to Saga, the Society for Authentic Golf Architecture. If you listened to our podcast last week, the one with Bill Treadway, you were introduced to Saga, and Bill generously offered two free Saga memberships to our Golf Smarter listeners. And with that membership, you're going to receive 1-year membership to Saga, a reserve spot for the Saga Golf Clinic held on June 17th in Poppy Hills, California, a copy of the Robert Trent Jones book, Golf by Design, which actually to me is worth the membership in itself, an NCA membership if you're not already a member of the NCGA, which is the Northern California Golf Association, and then access to the National Golf Foundation database, which I'm not sure what that means, but that's what Bill told me about. And at the end of May, we're going to have a random drawing for our entrance and announce the winner. Now to enter, send an email with the subject Saga, S-A-G-A, and include your name and where you're from to golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @TEETOUR.com. And at the end of May, we'll have a random drawing from the entries we've received, and we'll announce the winner. Do you or anyone you know use Nextel? the phone service? Because Golf Smarter is now available on the Nextel network via the mobile broadcast network. And the folks over at MBN just told me that in their first month of operation, Golf Smarter was the number four podcast out of the 87 different podcasts that were offered. So I just want to say to those of you who are listening on Nextel, welcome and thank you. And that's our show for today. I'm Fred Green.